The Science Show on RN. So what do we do about gaps between the accepted versions of R&D and reality? Here's our PhD for this week, and yes, she's now got one, Geetanjali Rongomaker.
I've always loved science. It's full of complex discoveries and sometimes simple nuanced revelations, which is what makes it hard to take when the important work done by scientists is contorted or misrepresented. Mind you, both scientists and the media are known to do this, all in the name of getting more clicks. Clickbait is a serious problem in mainstream media and popular science media, and shock horror, it's even creeping into academia. Take the recent slew of articles from the NASA twin study. It involved launching one twin into space while keeping the other on Earth and comparing the two. The sensational findings being reported by NASA scientists in their communications and by popular science outlets, such as Science as Fact, were that 7% of the genetic makeup of Scott Kelly, the twin who spent nearly a year on the International Space Station, changed when compared to his twin, Mark Kelly. But then came the corrections and the apologies. They said that what had actually changed was the way Scott's genes were expressed. His actual genetic makeup, or his genetic code that made him uniquely him, had remained unchanged. While it was heartening to see that they had admitted to erroneous reporting, to me, there was still one glaring error they had blown right past. What about the fact that their headlines had screamed, "Click me," and lured us in with the promise of information that wasn't really there or true at all? Honestly, though, who among us has not succumbed and clicked on an article because it boasted of some exciting cure for cancer or finally confirmed life elsewhere in the vast expanse of space? But so much of that is just science that's been dressed up. It's, in Trump speak, fake news. A prime example of this are the headlines that did the rounds back in 2013. Outlets from the Sydney Morning Herald to the LA Times were telling people that sitting was just as bad as smoking. This was taken from a single 2012 Australian study that used data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics and a large nationwide study called the Australian Diabetes, Obesity and Lifestyle Study, both of which are highly reliable sources. But these headlines blew out of proportion the actual results that simply drew loose parallels between being sedentary for too long and kicking the bucket. And the actual term smoking appeared all of 2 times in the entire study article. The more sensible thing might have been to tell people that spending too much time binge-watching television might make them as prone to several nasty conditions like obesity and heart disease as they do smokers. But I guess as a finding, that's just not sexy enough. There are also headlines that overuse terms such as breakthrough until they are threadbare and wantonly extrapolate the results of experiments conducted in animals or in clumps of cells to humans. In 2015, the Daily Mail in the UK, albeit not the bastion of responsible reporting, but still read by millions, claimed, "New era in the war on cancer. Revolutionary treatment that will save thousands hailed as biggest breakthrough since chemotherapy." Even the otherwise reputable Time magazine on their April 2013 cover declared, "How to cure cancer," which in reality provided empty hope. These headlines were drawing on results from small trials, and the supposed miracles had not been proven effective in large, robustly designed clinical trials, which is the norm before anything is deemed a successful medical treatment. Another important thing was that there was no long-term follow-up of the patients to see if they had really stayed cancer-free. This doesn't just make for irresponsible and potentially dangerous journalism, but could seriously diminish public regard and appreciation of science and the people behind it. With more and more news outlets subscribing to this method of reporting, it's no wonder that people are questioning scientific phenomena like climate change, even though it's backed by a mountain of evidence. What I find all the more concerning about this clickbait issue is that it's affecting the academic sphere. Recently, Guillaume Lockwood from the Max Planck Institute for Psycholinguistics in the Netherlands went through the titles of over 2,000 articles published in the journal Frontiers in Psychology between the years 2013 and 2014. He found that articles with a positively framed title and ones that elicited an emotional response were more likely to be widely shared. This sharing was measured by something called the altmetric scale, where each article was scored based on the number of times it was tweeted, shared on Facebook, in blogs, via LinkedIn, and on other social media platforms. This was similar in the fields of ecology, evolution, and the life sciences, where journal articles were downloaded and cited more often by academics if they had shorter, sunnier, and snappier titles. As a former scientist, I know how people respond to promises of cures for everything from the common cold to colitis. But the truth is that good, sound science takes time, which can be difficult to appreciate in today's world of instant gratification. I mean, if everything from your favorite food to the latest technological gadget is just a click away, why shouldn't the latest cures and scientific breakthroughs be so too? What people need to appreciate is that not every moment in science is an epiphany or a revolutionary finding. And as for us science lovers, doers, and communicators out there, it's our responsibility not to distort science by sticking to the absolute accurate truth every single time.
Dr. Geetanjali Rongomaker is a science writer in Adelaide.